Many factors contributed for the need for legislation creating a state housing tax credit, the first being the affordable housing crisis in Texas. With almost half of Texans spending more than 30% of their household income on housing costs, the need for affordable housing is a topic that is on policymakers' minds. Texas legislators understand the need for policies that support affordable housing, so a state tax credit was a step in the right direction.
Welcome to Buzz House, a Baker Tilly podcast where you can hear all the buzz around multifamily housing, with all the info you need to help you win now and anticipate tomorrow. Hi, I'm Don Bernards, the partner in charge of Baker Tilly's multifamily housing practice.
And I'm Gary Gibson, a partner at Baker Tilly, also specializing in consulting on multifamily housing transactions across the country.
Let's get started. Our guests on the Buzz House today are Esme Thoman and Carly Butler, who are part of the Government and Regulatory Practice Group at Butler Snow LLP. Esme and Carly oversee the legislative and regulatory consulting, lobbying, and government affairs efforts for their practice in Texas. A large portion of their lobbying work is focused on the real estate industry, specifically multifamily development. They are responsible for developing legislative and regulatory strategies for their clients to expertly navigate federal, state, and local policies and regulations, and how to best take advantage of those regulations and policies. Carly and Esme leverage their understanding of political decision dynamics and a broad network of stakeholder relationships in Texas and beyond to protect their client interests through the legislative and regulatory process. We're very excited to have Esme and Carly on to talk about some of these processes and policies around multifamily industry. And as we jump into the discussion, I'm going to turn it over to Garrick. Garrick?
Yes, thanks, Don. And before we go ahead and start in with some questions, Carly and Esme, why don't you give a little background of your organization and how you ended up in your current role there and what you focused on?
Hey, Garrick and Don, thank you for that introduction. We appreciate you having us. We both have finance backgrounds. I started my career in accounting as a CPA. Carly worked in mortgage lending. And in 2015, we founded a boutique consulting firm primarily focused on multifamily and economic development, providing legislative and regulatory consulting, lobbying, and governmental affairs services to multifamily developers. In 2021, we moved our business to Butler Snow, which is a national law firm with a large presence in the public finance arena, to offer our clients the full suite of services, including legal services. We've expanded into other industries, but the majority of our work is focused on real estate and affordable housing and the use of public incentives. We see firsthand how the legislative and regulatory pressures on businesses impact their operations and bottom line. We help cut some of that red tape through monitoring and at times influencing the legislative and regulatory environment. We advise on political and policy opportunities to further our clients' interest. Most recently, we have worked on creating a state low-income housing tax credit program for Texas. In June of 2023, Governor Abbott signed House Bill 1058, creating a Texas low-income housing tax credit program to bolster the federal LIHTC program. This was a notable step by the state to address affordable housing issues. Thank you very much for having us on the podcast to discuss our work and Texas policies that support affordable housing development.
Thanks for that introduction. And let's jump into our questions. So given many states are considering creating a state LIHTC credit, how did the state tax credit legislation come to be? Carly, I'll start with you.
Thanks, Garrick. Texas is one of the most recent states to create a state LIHTC program, joining Georgia, South Carolina, Oklahoma, and others. The state program is intended to supplement the federal LIHTC program. We work with LIHTC developers and syndicators who utilize the LIHTC program across the country. Most of the developers we work with are national developers who want to expand into Texas, or Texas-based developers who want to expand into other states. Several states have passed state LIHTC programs to address affordable housing shortages. In Texas, federal LIHTCs are a program legislators understand and are familiar with. Because of that, a state program was a good option for Texas to consider as a way to support affordable housing initiatives. Taking inspiration from the states who have passed the state LIHTC legislation and incorporating the lessons learned from those programs, we worked to draft a bill that could be a win for a Republican-led House and Senate. This effort wasn't a new one. In past legislative sessions, there were iterations of this bill, but they didn't have a monetary cap. So the fiscal impact to the state was just too big. We knew we had to address the cost aspect. One of the key elements of the bill was including a $25 million spending cap. The final version of the bill isn't perfect, but it is a start. We're now focused on how the program will be implemented by the department.
Very good. Thank you so much for that background. And we know so many states are looking at this. So when you were looking at it and focusing in Texas, how did it come to being? Why was the state tax credit needed at that time? And maybe how you got that rolling? Maybe I'll turn it over to Esme for that question.
Well, many factors contributed for the need for legislation creating a state housing tax credit. The first being the affordable housing crisis in Texas. With almost half of Texans spending more than 30% of their household income on housing costs, the need for affordable housing is a topic that is on policymakers' minds. Texas legislators understand the need for policies that support affordable housing, so a state tax credit was a step in the right direction. Obviously, macroeconomic factors contributed, like high interest rates, high construction costs, high insurance premiums, supply chain delays, highlighted the need for this type of program even more. Financial infeasibility. This is the topic we probably discuss the most with our clients. Those who utilize the federal LIHTC program have felt these impacts directly. Many of the 9% LIHTC applications that we advise on are financially infeasible without supplemental capital sources. The hope is that the state LIHTC program can fill some of that needed gap, and then success across the country. Other successful state LIHTC programs demonstrated how the program can be effective in creating additional affordable housing units, something that Texas desperately needs. Texas leveraged the lessons learned and incorporated the policies that worked well in other states into our state program. And ultimately, the state LIHTC program functions as a supplemental funding source that can enhance the federal LIHTCs and make them go farther. Other states have seen a lot of success using them, and I hope Texas will be able to share some of those same results.
Perfect. Maybe I'll turn it over to Carly. Carly, can you get into how this specific state LIHTC program will work for Texas? And right, is this process other states can mirror? As we know, I think we're up to 20 plus states right now that have a state, some sort of state local housing tax credit. So be very curious to dig into how Texas is rolling this out.
Yes, Don, thank you. The program will be administered by the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, and it allows the department to issue state tax credits that can be used to offset franchise tax and insurance premium tax, because Texas does not have a state income tax.
The state program really does intend to follow the federal program as closely as possible. During the application for a federal LIHTC, an applicant can elect to receive state LIHTCs. The state program will prioritize applicants offering the most 30% units. Some of the program's provisions require the department to allocate a value of $25 million in credits each year to be equally split between the 4% LIHTC tax-exempt bond developments and the 9% LIHTC developments. The program requires the department to set aside $5 million of the annual ceiling in the first year to be granted to projects awarded in 2021 and 2022 that are experiencing financial infeasibility. The Texas program allows for bifurcation from the federal LIHTCs. This feature adds valuable flexibility for transaction structuring. The department will issue allocations for the state LIHTC program beginning in 2024 and will be claimed over a 10-year period. The state program really did try to follow the federal program as closely as they could, and that was intentional. So other states that are interested in their own program could use the federal LIHTC program as their guide and then customize their state program based on their specific needs.
Yeah, thanks for that, Esme. So you described it pretty well, but what about implementation, right? And what about any future updates, since it sounds like there's some specific, not necessarily limitations, but caps. And how do you think that's going to play out over the future?
Yes, you're right, Garrick. Figuring out how best to regulate and implement a new program is not easy. House Bill 1058 set a $25 million credit cap. There's been a lot of discussion on how much the state could spend. For now, the department is interpreting the legislation to mean that the total fiscal impact is $25 million per year, meaning only $2.5 million in credits can be issued in each year of the program. For the 2024 allocation round, TDHCA will be issuing $2.5 million in state tax credits. Industry stakeholders are uncertain about the practical impact of issuing so few state tax credits and how that will affect the pricing of the credits and the usefulness of the program in general. We'll see how this plays out shortly. The 2024 allocation round deadline was March 1st. The heavy lifting in 2023 was really creating the state LIHTC program. Statute updates are to be expected, and we certainly have our work cut out for us.
Very good. No, yeah, and hopefully we saw that in a lot of states with their new programs. And luckily, like in states like Colorado, for example, after we kind of show success, maybe those numbers get updated upon a renewal and so forth. So thank you for that. Maybe just switching gears real quick, and one of our last questions, you know, what other, we know there's so many tools, right, that are needed for affordable housing. The credit, obviously a big tool, but maybe what other notable affordable housing legislative programs have you been able to work on in Texas that, again, perhaps could translate to other states looking to supplement their approach to reducing this incredibly massive shortfall of affordable housing they were experiencing?
No, that's a great question. And we work on a lot in Texas with our clients. In addition to tax incentives like LIHTC, Texas provides two notable options that offer an exemption from ad valorem taxes, and by doing so, support the development of affordable and workforce housing. A property tax exemption, especially in Texas, is extremely valuable and can either address a shortfall or a gap in a LIHTC development, or can be used alone to target affordable housing needs in an area. The two economic development programs often used to support affordable housing include the 100% property tax exemption for developments by political subdivisions like a housing finance corporation or a housing authority, where the public entity is serving as the general partner of the limited partnership. And because of this structure, the property receives 100% property tax exemption in exchange for the development of affordable units. The second tool that has been effective in the production of affordable housing and used very frequently in the state has been the public facility corporation. And the ownership structure is a little different, where the private developer, rather than that public entity, serves as the general partner of the limited partnership. And they receive a property tax exemption in exchange for developing affordable units. Both of these economic development tools allow local governments through property tax exemptions to support affordable housing and supplement the state and federal programs to reduce that shortfall in affordable housing units. I know other states have similar economic development tools. I know Florida passed one recently that could provide property tax exemptions in exchange for the development of affordable units, or could easily implement one. Property tax incentives can be a lever used by local governments to incentivize that type of development fairly easily. It's common to stack incentives, as you both know, both federal, state, and now local, to get these affordable housing developments done and units on the ground. That seems to be the standard these days, and they've been useful in filling the gap in Texas.
Very good. No, thank you for that summary. Like you said, very important that state credit we've seen very beneficial in many other states, the many other tools that you just noted about. That's it for this episode of The Buzz House. A big thanks to our guests, Esme Thoman and Carly Butler with Butler Snow. Thanks again, both of you, very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us to discuss our work. We're big fans of Buzz House, and we look forward to keeping up with you and your guest.
Very good. Once again, I'm Don Bernards.
And I'm Garrett Gibson.
Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For additional resources around multifamily housing, check out BakerTilly.com. If you have a suggestion for the show, email us at build@BakerTilly.com. That's build@BakerTilly.com. See you next time on Buzz House.